It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Seventeen minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you until 6. Don't forget, coming your way a little bit later on tonight. At 7 o'clock, the WEOL Diamond Dual Playback Softball Action, Amherst taking on Midview. Those Amherst Comets, state-ranked. Mr. Douglas, should be a good one tonight.
Seventh-ranked Amherst Comets, Madison Oberg, probably in the circle, I'm imagining, for them tonight. If not for Sydney Campbell, I think a lot of the spotlight would be on Madison Oberg and what she's accomplished in the circle this year pitching for the Comets. So looking forward to seeing them on Saturday during the previous tournament. I get to call their game against Lake High School out of the Canton area.
Very good. Well, in the circle, the spotlight may be on Campbell and Oberg, but today we are shining the spotlight on our good friend, our good buddy. He usually joins us on Tuesdays, but the last few weeks, the schedule's been a little bit screwy, so he's here with us on Wednesday today. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Well, head on down to Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. If you've not been there yet, you'll see why when you head down there. When you walk into a jewelry store, if you're a guy like us, you probably have a bunch of interesting ideas as to what that experience might be like. Well, when you go to Vandermark Jewelers, it's a pleasant experience. It's a very good experience. I can tell you that because I go there anytime I have a jewelry need, and I come away pleased every time. More importantly, those who I buy for come away pleased as well. So make sure you stop by and see Jim, Bob, the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. On Broad Street, right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. And Dave O'Brien, a trusted name in journalism. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Doing all right today. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Of course, we're coming your way after a 6-2 Cleveland Indians victory.
So hey, all right.
Dave must be a good luck charm. They're having some success when we have Dave on after day games. But we'll talk some Tribe later on. We'll start by getting into some of these stories that Dave's written since we last had him on. And I wanted to talk about something I think you published a couple days after we spoke last week about the Easter Seals celebrating their 100th anniversary. I mean, just remarkable what they have done through the years. And they have a lot to celebrate over the last century.
And it's, it's fantastic. Coming here to work, I wasn't aware until very recently that Easter Seals started in Elyria, April 22nd, 1919, 100 years for an organization. That's pretty impressive. And there's a nice luncheon over at the Lorain County Transportation Center on Monday, and all the stakeholders were there, and some very fine people, and a lot of folks there who benefit from Easter Seals, which provides education, awareness, loans to families whose children or some adults or veterans who need help with mobility, with wheelchairs, with chairlifts, with mental and physical assistance. Absolutely fantastic. Good organization, well known. I've spoken with people, and I said, hey, I just learned that Easter Seals started in Elyria. And they said, oh no, get out of town. It's really interesting to come upon a city's history like that in something that is now a nationwide and international organization. I think it's really wonderful, and like I said, a lot of stakeholders there, a couple of really really fantastic people, and it was a good lunch, and we've done some coverage about how U.S. Senate and the City of Elyria and Ohio legislators have handed out proclamations saying happy 100th birthday Easter Seals.
Give me your impression of the keynote speaker. I thought it was a really cool story, Danielle Flickinger, and for those that don't know, she's the keynote speaker here, but she's legally blind, has cerebral palsy, and she's worked with Easter Seals for most of her life.
And she currently works also two degrees from Kent State University.
Wow.
which is one more than I have. So she is absolutely no slouch. Wonderful person. She sat up there and spoke to everybody and said, "Look, this is an important organization." She currently works as part of the caseload management system for the Ohio Department of Disabilities, working with people like her, people of different abilities and backgrounds. And she said she was very inspirational, and it was really nice. And I wouldn't do justice to all the things that she said. But she said basically, we need to come to a point where all of us are empowered, all of us are abled, we see each other as equals. We need to to make sure that people are empowered to do the kinds of things that they are able to do, and just a really if you ever get the chance to hear her speak, she held the room, as they say. And got a very nice warm round of applause at the end, and just an incredible human being, and I was in awe of what she had to say. So.
Inspirational was the first thing that came to my mind when I was reading your article, just based on some of the things that she had said. Always be proud of who you are. That's when you have the opportunity to do anything. And I thought, boy, that's
exactly
interesting, because we don't always see it that way. And I thought this next quote was pretty fascinating also. Always reach for the moon. And even if you fall, you'll land among the stars, right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I've seen I've seen similar kind of inspirational quotes of that same nature. But I mean, when she said it, the room was she really held the room on her little she had a whole list of little tidbits like that. But being proud of who you are, I think too, that was one of those things that I took away. And it's not and not necessarily, in the sense of national, of national pride, but pride in yourself, confidence in yourself, and to overcome the things that she's had to overcome, and then to go and say, I'm going to help people like me, or maybe not like me, who may have, more severe, something greater holding them back, or something less holding them back. They just need to overcome. They just need to get up over that wall or climb those next couple steps. Just a really nice event, and happy 100th birthday, Easter Seals.
Incredible story, no question about that. And a lot of incredible stories also come out of Lorain County Community College. We, of course, were there last Tuesday, celebrating April being National Community College Month. And one of the things we thoroughly enjoy about doing that show is the idea that we get the opportunity to really kind of see firsthand how many lives that place can touch. And it sounds like they're on the path to doing some more very special things. You detailed this last week. They've got some really big plans between now and 2025. What did you find out about their five-year strategic plan?
Well, Lorain County Community College wants to hand out 10,000 new degrees by 2025. Wow. 10,000 more people with letters after their name and certificates and joining the workforce, getting involved in their microelectric manufacturing program, which is absolutely fantastic. I got a tour of some of their facilities some weeks back. They want to basically and also there was talk of there's a large problem with student debt, with student loan debt in this country, and they want to be able to send people to take students who might not ordinarily be able to afford a 4-year education, say, look, come here for 2 years, with the scholarships we can provide and with the community support that we can provide and with the resources we can provide, if you're working a career, you can come here part-time. If you're not working a career and you're looking for something different, you can come here full-time. The partnerships that LC has, everything that they're able to provide to veterans. They have a veterans office, for returning veterans or for people who are getting out of the military and saying, well, now what? What can I use these skills for? Well, they can give you more skills. That kind of thing. They want to hand out 10,000 more degrees and certificates by 2025. And also cut down on the amount of debt, not having to borrow as much maybe to take, a few classes here and there, to take a partial load of classes, and then, but really engage in the community. I mean, there were community, again, you know, the buzzword being stakeholders, that, you know, Police Chief Dwayne Whiteley from Elyria Police Department was one of the people that the college looked to and said, hey, how can we improve, you know, our community through by using the college? They looked at, you know, the Superintendent Franco Gallo, you know, from down the road, you know, from the Educational Service Center. They were looking to people from Lorain and Elyria and Grafton and LaGrange and on down the line. Interviewed thousands of people, got feedback from almost 2,000 people, and then had a core group of about 130. They said meet with us a couple times and tell us what you expect from the college and what the college can do for you, your experiences. Put that all together and said, we want to hand out 10,000 more degrees in the next about 5 years through our 5-year strategic plan. Sounds really interesting. I'm gonna keep following on that to see how they do, and also have I can't tell you about it, but there's some other good news coming out of LC coming up in the next couple of days that you can read about in the Chronicle, and some really good some good happy news about student success.
Yeah, so. Well, you mentioned the student debt, and I know when we were there, Tracy Green had talked to us about the fact that they're graduating so many high school kids too with associate's degrees, and how that basically they're getting that for free. There's no student debt on that.
And that's the other part is that you know, a bunch of Lorain, you know, dozens of Lorain high school students, you know, now have college credits, yeah, thanks to LCCC. Elyria high school students, you know, high school students at you know, pick a high school, you know, that's involved with their program, where you basically get free college credits. Sure. You know, I wish that had been around when I was coming
me too,
up. Yeah, I could have skipped some of the low level core curriculum at my alma mater,
or at least known what I was getting into in my freshman.
True,
year. I'll
yeah.
say that. Yeah,
but it's great prep too for being on a college campus when somebody says, "I'm going to college." You know, hell or high water, I'm going to find out a way to do this. Well, now you already have the experience, yeah, of either being on campus or being at a satellite campus, or saying, you know, maybe I don't want to go full time the first year at high school. You know, I have all these credits. You know, maybe I want to, you know, stretch my legs in the, you know, in the business world, or, you know, carry on my job, you know, my summer job or my you know, my job right out of high school and go part time. It's options.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's there's a lot of options that the college wants to provide people who might not be what they call sometimes traditional learners, or, you know, what they call now non-traditional learners, where they go part time, where they are a, you know, 45-year-old mother of two, mother of three, you know, single father, you know, who wants to get out of whatever job he was working and learn some new trades, learn some new skills, get involved in making circuit boards. I mean, this is some, they do some really interesting stuff up there, and I would encourage people to learn more about it. And I'll continue to report when there's good things happening up there, and, you know, hopefully that'll drive the college to hit their goal.
Cost saving options are just incredible. You know,
yes,
we detailed that last week when we were out at LCCC, but I mean, really, you know, even if you are a traditional college student, the cost savings are incredible. And I think along those same lines, if you were a non-traditional student, that's got to be part of the allure, because you're not going to spend tens of thousands of dollars for a 4-year education, whereas you might do that at some other places. All right, right down the road from here, my friend, we talked about the demolition at the site of the new Elyria Library, the central branch. And, you know, if you roll by on Broad Street, you can see the destruction still going on out there. And actually, you were talking about the story you wrote last week, how they accidentally stumbled upon a basement. You can actually see that now.
You can. That
was really cool. You could see that. You could see that mysterious basement as you drive by. If you look quickly, keep your hands at 10 and 2, make sure you watch the road. But
yes,
if you get a chance, you're at a stop sign, you could look to the right really quickly. You could see that it's there. But you also detailed this last week, that the Elyria Arts Council is going to have a fundraiser next month where some of these bricks from the mural are going to be available.
I believe that's on May 25th, if I'm not mistaken. It has a long, complicated name that David Pavlak gave to it, but it's basically their buy a brick picnic, and this involves you'll be able to go out to Pioneer Plaza. I think it's on a Saturday, and buy a brick that has paint from the lost mural, from the train mural, maybe get it signed by the artists who put it there. Get a hot dog, something to drink, you know, hang out with other people. All part of a fundraiser for children's programs at the Leary Arts Council. More information is in my stories at chronicle.com. More information on the Elyria Arts Council Facebook page. The specifics, it'll be a few hours in the afternoon, and you can meet the people behind, fixing up the existing mural, that's left, and kind of pick their brains and see how things go. But you can hold a piece of that mural in your hands and. I think it's for a small donation and for a good cause.
Very good stuff. Well, we need to ask you about these scanner stories before we cut you loose today, because this week's scanner stories include people waving swords down in Oberlin. Or I shouldn't say people. I think it was one person wielding a sword down in Oberlin, but that was one of just a few.
Well, probably one of the better ones. For my colleague Vince Guerreri, who covers mornings at the Chronicle, just another day in Oberlin. Scanner says a guy is walking down the street carrying a sword.
Is he running down the street saying "Winter is coming, winter is coming"? Right? Is that time? Right?
You never know. Or he was late for practice for Macbeth.
That could have
been in Hamlet or one of. One of the fine arts programs sure. down there at Oberlin College.
Must that be was, a logical explanation yeah, for it.
11:30 in the morning.
It's an odd time. Yeah,
a little different. I usually carry my swords after dinner.
Oh, sure.
But that's usually when I go out around there. And there are many many great sword related stories off to save for another time. my other good one, and again I don't know where this one came from, but it was just a tidbit that was too good to share. Dispatcher had a call the other day. Quote, "She's refusing to stop. She is mowing the backyard." Again, context lost to time on that one, but apparently somebody wanted somebody to stop mowing the yard. She refused, and there was some discussion about on Twitter this past week about whether it's appropriate or not to mow the lawn on Easter Sunday.
Wow.
When your neighbors might be having family over.
Yeah.
A lot of people are off on Sundays, and if that's when you got to do it, I guess that's when you got to do it. I'll let our fine listeners and readers discuss that amongst themselves, the etiquette of cutting the lawn on Easter Sunday.
Mowing etiquette is crazy to me. Nobody really knows what a good time is, but apparently this gentleman thought they shouldn't be doing it whatever time they were doing it.
Apparently was not a good time. Yeah. Not a good time for that to be done.
Yeah. See, that's so strange to me, because you're right. I'm with Matt on this.
Is there a specific time? I try not to cut my lawn before 10 a.m. if I can.
That's usually my baseline. Although, look, if I've got things going on and I have to cut it at 9.
Same, I've done that.
I think anything earlier than 9 o'clock, you're really kind of cutting it too close. Pun fully intended.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say 10 o'clock is usually about my baseline. I try not to do any earlier than that. And look, everybody leads a different life. I mean, not everybody's going to be on the same timeline. As far as not cutting it on Easter Sunday, look.
They're being too picky.
Yeah, tough.
Get out of here.
You know what? That might be the only day that person has to cut their grass.
And that person might not be, might not recognize Easter. They may not celebrate
Easter.
That's
a good point, too. Yeah,
that's entirely possible.
Dave coming up with good points, yes.
It's entirely possible. I mean, that might have been a day I did, that might have been a day that I chose to do it.
Yeah.
Or you didn't go to services,
you'd celebrated it the night before with family or something along those lines. You got to mow the lawn when you mow the lawn.
Yeah. Right. And I get it. Sometimes it might be a little bit too early. Like, I've got neighbors that will do it right around 8. I'm up.
P.M.?
It doesn't bother me. You run out of sunlight by 8.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Usually around 8 a.m., you'll start to hear some lawnmowers fire up. And look, landscapers, people that do this for a living, they've got to get out there at 7:30 to start cutting. I mean, they can't really think about when you're sleeping. They're trying to cut as many lawns as they can here. So the courtesy that goes along with lawn cutting, to me, kind of goes out the window. That's just how it works.
It'll ever be debated, I feel.
Well, and I think you run into the problem of will those same people who complain about you cutting it on Easter Sunday, then call the city and report you for having tall grass.
That's exactly what I was saying, too. Yeah.
I think that's another, worry.
Yes,
yeah, that's
those are the same people.
Yes. Yeah, they'll give you a citation for sure. All right. Dave, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. We look forward to doing this again next week.
Hey, I look forward to it as well. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Dave, again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers.